So here's the question. In the print and packaging supply chain, how do we deliver new ideas and innovative practices to continually improve your profit, your brand, and your quality? Welcome to the Gamut Podcast, and I am your host, Jeff Collins, Director of Print Technologies for ID Alliance. We are a nonprofit global think tank serving the graphic communications industry with 12 offices strategically located around the world to better support our membership. You can support the Gamut Podcast and content like this by becoming a member at ID Alliance by going to www.idalliance.org. I would also like to thank Konica Minolta for sponsoring this podcast. They are a world leader in industrial and commercial printing and packaging solutions. On today's Gamut Podcast, we get to hear the inspiring journey of Miriam Brofman. Miriam is the founder and CEO of Packlane. Packlane is an online printing company that makes it simple and affordable for businesses to design and order custom packaging online. Miriam started Packlane in 2015 and has since made the Forbes 30 Under 30 list for manufacturing and industry and has been featured in many articles from publications like the Huffington Post and the Washington Post. Miriam's startup idea was to provide unique packaging solutions and an easy online packaging designer. And now Packlane serves some of the world's largest brands like Google, Shopify, L'Oreal, Red Bull, Benefit Cosmetics, and Hewlett Packard. Good afternoon, Miriam. How are you today? And welcome to the Gamut Podcast.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's great to be on the podcast.
Miriam, it's a pleasure to have you on today. And I know that you're a very busy person. So again, we appreciate it. And we met in Louisville, Kentucky. We were out visiting the location there and working with Jessica Garnett and Jimmy Chang on the production lines, inkjet printing corrugated. And it just amazed me at the level of automation for your e-commerce model that's, printing for some major brands and seeing the different brands, micro brands, and even large brands come through the facility was pretty eye-opening for me. And on that note, I guess I would love to ask you the question so you can share with our listeners, what turned the light bulb on for you to start this idea of Packlane?
Yes, sure. I'm happy to share that. So I was actually back in 2015 working my first full-time job as a software engineer, and I was working at a Lawrence Berkeley lab. So it's a large physical sciences lab kind of working on software for material scientists. So something in a totally different realm. Mm-hmm. And actually after doing that for about a year and a half, I felt like I wanted to kind of scratch this entrepreneurial itch that I had. I wanted to start my own business and, had this idea that it would be great to work for myself and that I wanted to be kind of in charge of all the kind of creative opportunities that go with having your own business and making your own decisions and creating a company. So that's kind of the initial inspiration is, I wanted to do something entrepreneurial, but I also had this desire to kind of combine technology as well as my interest in graphic design. I had kind of grown up throughout high school and college doing freelance graphic design and had always just been obsessed with packaging and typography and things like that. So I just sort of had these two things that I knew I wanted out of a kind of new endeavor that I would create. And as I was thinking about that, I was actually really interested in e-commerce and what I was seeing with kind of the new consumer businesses that were launching in e-commerce at the time. And this was around 2014, 2015, was that a lot of the value was being created from the actual design side of things. So things like the packaging were influencing just enormous amounts of value and consumer purchasing decisions. decisions in these new brands that we're launching. So that was something that really excited me. And so as I started thinking about, what business I wanted to build, it was very much something around e-commerce and packaging. And what excited me about that was like building the brand. I wanted to, create the logo and create the website and do the creative direction and things like that. So I was immediately like curious about what would be the process of creating custom packaging for a new brand, that you want to bring into the market. I knew that you had platforms like Shopify and, what was kind of the physical infrastructure like if you actually wanted to create packaging. So it was sort of that initial curiosity that just led me to do some online searches, which typing in custom packaging and custom boxes and things like that. And I just found really quickly like, there's no really great website that's targeted at, an entrepreneur or designer that's looking to create their first packaging prototype. So that just immediately piqued my interest. And I sort of thought of companies like Moo or Vistaprint that had created this self-service interface for doing mass customized products.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the light bulb moment where I was like, okay, like there might be a really great opportunity here to build kind of the first modern packaging brand that's, digital first, great web interface, and kind of the first starting point for anybody who is looking to procure custom packaging for their business. And that was sort of the initial idea. And really, it was this simple notion of like, there has to be an amazing opportunity here to build a business around the custom packaging market and sort of the first great website that you land on when you're looking for something like this.
So once you formed that idea and you decided I'm going to do an e-commerce platform, this is my brand, this is the idea I have for the brand, for this e-commerce business around packaging, how did you get that idea off the ground? What's the first like 4 to 5 steps look like?
Yeah, so it was an interesting process. Like the first thing I did was, I started thinking about it. And the more I started thinking about it, the more I was really excited and just about how it aligned with all of my different interests and skill sets. Mm-hmm. And so the more I sort of researched it online, I would sort of uncover these online communities or forums where it looked like entrepreneurs were corresponding about, the pain points and challenges of like procuring packaging. So that to me was like some really exciting, like initial validation. It seemed like other people were looking for this kind of service. And really it was kind of the feeling of just, I couldn't stop thinking about it. So, I had thought of other ideas, I thought of other projects and opportunities, but, this was the first thing that I really couldn't get out of my mind. So I knew I had to just like start working on it. Right. And for me, I was just like, okay, I know how to build websites. I know how to do like a logo. I know how to like do the graphic design. I could probably learn how to do photography or, all the kind of basic components of creating a business. I felt like I could kind of bring together and do it really resourcefully. So all I did was just kind of started working on it. I kind of transitioned in my job to part-time. So I was working 20 hours a week and the other 20 hours I had to kind of like work on this new project. And it started just consuming more and more of my attention over the first couple of months as I was like building out the software and things like that. So I just decided to kind of make the leap and try it out and just go full-time on it. And this was like at the beginning of 2015. Mm-hmm. And after working on it for 3 months, just by myself, like all day, every day, I had like a very basic, crude product to launch into the market and sort of, slowly started, running like little Google ads and things like that to attract some customers. And I think after about 2 months of just the product kind of sitting out there and, me behind the scenes, just, continuing to iterate on the bug fixing and infrastructure, I finally had like my first customer that found Packlane through an ad I was running and immediately sort of started trying to figure out like, okay, like now how do I produce this? And so it was all sort of very like seat of the pants, like a very iterative process. And I ended up finding, you know, like somewhere where I could produce that kind of like first couple of orders. And it was sort of this process of like trial and error and just refining everything after learning from one order at a time. And of course, like, you know, each order was a learning experience and everything was sort of, just trying to bend over backwards to figure out how I could serve the customer. But it was all very like bootstrapped, very scrappy. And, these days it's really easy to start a new company and you don't have to kind of like have all the expertise, but you can like try out an idea. You don't have to spend money. And you can learn from that and hopefully get some traction. And that just leads to more opportunities to grow the business and do things like eventually, you know, like find investors and stuff like that.
I know you probably get this question all the time, but who or what was the first order and who was the customer?
So it was actually a company called Nerdake Cakes. And this was really interesting. It was actually a cosplay themed baked goods company. And they wanted to have a digitally printed box to serve their baked goods that they would ship to customers. Mm-hmm. So they had this great fun design that they had. And yeah, I'll never forget. I was like sitting at some event in San Francisco and checking my phone and like saw the first order come in. And I was just like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? This is crazy. I wonder how they found us. You know, I was just like so excited. And I think I emailed them and just started talking about their project and, working to kind of figure out like, okay, now I need to really like do a good job. I need to get it manufactured. I need to make sure it goes flawlessly. I need to make sure they have a great box. And I still have that first box in my garage because the manufacturer actually like sent me a sample that I could keep. And it's a great little reminder of that first experience, like serving a customer, which was amazing.
And so what did you offer as a product online when you put it up and started the Google ads and started advertising? Did mm-hmm. you keep it focused on one type of substrate, one type of design, one type of folding carton, or was it did you leave it open for them to decide?
Yes, it was actually interesting. I actually launched Packlane with kind of a suite of different products. So I think I had like things like bags and tubes and boxes, and I didn't know which one was going to work really. But I wanted to learn which products generated the most interest and orders and traction. So what happened was, you know, I had all these products online, but it was very clear that, you know, most of the interest, if not all the orders, were sort of in the box category. So that was something where I realized that there was a big enough opportunity to kind of like just focus on boxes and serve that part of the market.
Right.
And another thing that I sort of learned was that there's specific types of boxes that really appealed to like the widest variety of customers. And that was these kind of like corrugated direct print boxes that people wanted. So started just like doubling down on that and building out the product to fully cater to that product segment and customer segment.
It's almost like a ongoing marketing research. I mean, you talk to MBAs or somebody that, is educated, degreed in marketing, and they talk about business plans and marketing research and data collection analytics. But what you did, I love. I mean, you've taken a variety of different product lines or ideas for products and then narrowed them down to what people really wanted. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it was very much kind of like the lean startup, learning from experiments kind of process. And the initial product was also really interesting to customers because they had this 3D tool where they could upload their designs, they can see an instant proof, they could get instant pricing. So this formerly kind of opaque process of ordering packaging and like having to get a quote and having to order really high minimums was suddenly like this beautiful like user experience where you had this level of interaction that you would expect from a great online brand. And definitely there was sort of no formal market research process before launching Packlane or anything that could kind of resemble what I guess a formal like MBA type of process would look like. So, you know, I did, like I said, some basic online searches, really didn't find any websites with an appealing offering. So just like digging deeper, finding the discussions that validated this initial hypothesis. And I think, you know, another thing for me that was really formative was like actually going through the ordering and sales process myself and finding that, you know, there was just so many rough edges that could be improved upon and like sort of modernized, so to speak. So I could really easily envision like this long-term opportunity around fixing all of these pain points in the process. And aside from this and like a lot of hope and excitement and optimism, I knew that, the packaging industry in general was just really big. You know, I was hopeful that that would generate like enough of a opportunity to build a successful business around.
You had a vision of your brand, and you've mentioned before in interviews and even talking today a little bit, you formed an idea of a brand vision. And how has that changed going down the road, your journey, you know, starting out being scrappy, you know, rushing to get that first order right, the second order right, and then, you know, slowly honing in on, you know, what Packlane is today. What has changed in your mind as far as your brand strategy and basically your business?
Sure. I think there's been some core elements that are still really important and have been with the brand since the inception, which is, you know, things like customer centricity, simplicity, and democratizing packaging for small brands, as well as promoting great design and the visual aesthetic of packaging. The main shift for kind of the vision and strategy of Packlane, I would say, has been viewing manufacturing as a core competency rather than more of a commodity that a website can just plug into. So, you know, initially I just kind of like thought or assumed that I could, you know, build this great site and plug into existing infrastructure with a great product, and the manufacturing side of things could kind of be taken care of. But I would say as time went on, that increasingly had its limitations. And, you know, although Packlane still works with tons and tons of like supplier partners for a significant portion of our manufacturing and will continue to do that, the components of manufacturing, like quality control, lead time, consistency, cost efficiency, and reliability, are just so critical to the customer experience that over time we've decided to invest more in that direction over the years, like launching our own facility and, you know, becoming a more integrated platform. And aside from that, I would say, you know, Packlane as a brand, you know, we want to become a more integrated part of the supply chain, and finding ways to be more aggressive on price through product innovation has become pretty central to how we're formulating our vision as the market's become increasingly competitive over the past few years since Packlane's launched.
So you started manufacturing yourself, and you began with working with print service provider partners. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. And now we do a mix of both. So we have both our in-house facility, but we also supplement that with a pretty wide network of partners throughout the country.
And what was the biggest challenges to start up your own manufacturing operations?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there were tons of challenges, whether it was, you know, just learning a completely new competency, right? Like, at least personally speaking, you know, I came from more of like a software and design background. Mm-hmm. So having to learn how to like operate a new facility and all the kind of like pitfalls and mistakes that you can possibly make going into something like that has definitely been a learning experience. I would say things like, you know, just choosing the optimal location, choosing what mix of equipment works, choosing like the layout and flow of the facility, figuring out kind of like the core tenets of the culture that you're building within the manufacturing facility, and just building a great team and being operationally exceptional. I mean, all of that is really, really challenging. And, you know, I never underestimate the work that goes into like building out the manufacturing side of the business. It's just as hard, if not more difficult, than kind of building the software infrastructure as well.
Now, did you start, did you build pretty much the initial e-commerce side, your e-commerce platform alone? Did you write all the code yourself? Did you, you mentioned you had a software development background and a design background. Those are two sides of the brain that typically most people don't have or don't really capitalize on, I should say.
Yeah, sure. So initially, yes, I was the sole like developer building out this website from scratch and everything. And I was doing a lot of that work by myself. And then as, you know, things started to get more complex and the website was gaining traction and things like that and customers, the demands of that job definitely became more than a single person could handle. So I brought in kind of a contractor to help me, who eventually came on full time as I think the second employee at Packly. So over time, we've definitely like built out more of the software team. And at this point, I'm no longer involved in the code base and really can't take credit for how the product's developed over the past, you know, at least, you know, 2.5 to 3 years when I kind of stepped away from being really hands on with the code base. But yeah, and for I would say the first couple of years, I was very hands on, still building out a lot of the product. And one of the most kind of exciting times, I would say, as far as, you know, building the business for me personally and enjoyable times was actually at the very beginning when it was kind of just me or one other person. And I was doing both customer service, but I was also building the product, and that feedback loop of talking to the customer, understanding what they want, and then being able to actually build that into the product itself. That feedback loop, there's really nothing like it. And being able to kind of like do that and have an immediate impact on the product and just see it evolve from direct feedback you're getting from the customer, or even a kind of a direct pain point you have with the workflow, whether it's kind of building out the tools for the vendors that are fulfilling orders and things like that. Just that was kind of an amazing iterative process of seeing the product really evolve and come together that I'm really proud of, and was really enjoyable experience.
In some respects, you just described really the core philosophy in lean thinking, lean manufacturing, where we're thinking through these individual problems as they arise and solving them, you know, with the with the intent to serve the customer.
I mean, it's definitely something where, you know, the product just gets so much better if you can kind of immediately tackle some of the challenges that are right in front of you. Mm-hmm. So that part is just, you know, actually having a very direct connection to the customer and letting that kind of like feed back into the product so that it gets better. Even now that our, you know, that our company is a lot bigger, you know, we have more engineers, we have a lot more process. And I think, you know, you kind of miss that from the early days of like just being able to fix things right away and iterate on an idea that just pops in because you're dealing with the problem right then and there. I think that's something that definitely gets harder over time as a business matures.
Miriam, quite a few entrepreneur stories mention mentors and trusted advisors that helped them early on in their careers. And I was wondering, who fits that capacity for you?
So I actually got connected pretty early on with the founding team at Moo.com. Oh, yeah. As I said earlier, they were definitely like a big inspiration to Packlane. And I actually formed kind of like a formal advisor relationship with the founding CTO of Moo. His name's Stefan. Mm-hmm. And he was just really, valuable to me as kind of a mentor, guiding me through some of the challenges of, you know, manufacturing and working with suppliers and building out the software and things like that, and sort of the operational components that I really didn't know about. So he's someone that provided a lot of initial support to me, and was also there through some of the really hard and difficult points and emotional, you know, roller coasters and, you know, existential crises and things like that, that you have at a really early stage company. And so just even having that support was really valuable to me.
It's interesting that you mentioned Moo. When I came on board at Idea Alliance, I was shipped my first box of business cards. And when I unboxed it, of course, I didn't know where they were printed. I assumed it was somebody local, but it turned out they're ordered through Moo. And when I opened the package, I was absolutely amazed at the design of the box, the presentation of the business cards. They took the sense of customer service to another level in regards to the packaging of what we, you know, we take for granted business cards. And that immediately, I'm a loyal customer, even if I have to pay a little extra for those cards. And the quality of the cards were amazing on top of the packaging that went into that particular box. I also want to mention Moo is a G7 Master qualified facility, just giving them a plug on that. And I think that you know, that focus on quality and customer service, customer experience, Moo is a great example of that. So what a great mentor.
Yeah, I would say that's something that I definitely gleaned from you know, watching other brands like Moo, or, you know, working with those guys, was just you know, working backwards from the customer and being a very customer-centric company with a lot of value placed on customer service and how that impacts you know, different parts of the business and can really accelerate the business as well. Another company that was, I would say, very inspiring and kind of formative for Packlane was probably Sticker Mule, and, you know, seeing how they iterate on customer feedback and how they really have their customers at the core of their philosophy and strategy has been a huge inspiration. And I have a lot of reverence for kind of Anthony and what he's built there.
And what was that company's name again?
Sticker Mule.
Sticker Mule. I gotcha. And so, so how have your products evolved since you started up? Did it expand as far as variety? What do you have, you know, in store over the next 5 years? I mean, what does it look like as far as product expansion and offering?
I would say that, you know, that initial product line of, you know, corrugated and folding carton has kept us pretty busy. And we've really doubled down on making sure that those core products are as competitive as possible in all sorts of dimensions, whether it's like the lead time or the pricing or the amount of customization options. But some of the things that we've been able to kind of introduce to customers over the years is like being able to print on the inside of the box. So actually having the ability of our editor to kind of like open up the lid, add customization to the interior has been really valuable. We've also been able to kind of make our overall selection of materials and kind of expanding that into things like Dream Coat, which offer a better finish. So I would say sort of like our core products have remained more or less the same, but in the future, we're very much kind of interested in pushing the platform forward with becoming kind of like a one-stop shop for packaging. So, yeah, expect to see a lot more product selection over the next several months.
Yeah, the one thing that came to mind as you were talking, I was thinking about what have you learned about customer expectations and customer service strategies that you didn't foresee when you first started?
Sure. So I would say, you know, the original prediction was that customers would always value speed and low prices and customer service and quality. So these are pretty enduring pillars that don't change much over time. Mm-hmm. And they've definitely remained constant. I would say that, you know, as you get into kind of scaling this type of business, things like consistency and expectation that, you know, even if you're sending an order to a different facility one time, you can't necessarily expect to get the same quality if on the next order you send it to a different facility. And that sort of makes our model much more trickier to scale. And so what we've had to do is really make consistency and color something that, you know, we have to invest in and really refine over time, so that even if you're sending it to a different machine or, you know, a different manufacturing facility with completely different sets of equipment, that the customer's getting, you know, the same box. And that's a really hard problem to solve. And I would say another thing is just customers really do expect a product to be consistent, especially when it comes to their brand and packaging. So even if, you know, from one order to the next, and that next order is produced on a different press, even with, mm-hmm. you know, much higher quality, if it doesn't look the same as their previous order, even if it's higher quality and, you know, there's been improvements to the process, if that exact shade is slightly off from the previous order, you're going to run into problems and complaints. And I think that was something that definitely sort of surprised us. But, you know, we've managed to kind of fix from an operations standpoint and resolve because of, you know, something that we were seeing from customers.
That is what we do at Idealliance, is to help brands and print service providers solve that problem that you just mentioned. And that was, you know, really some of the work that we did when we were out at the Packling facility working with Jimmy and Jessica. And, you know, the brands are definitely on the forefront of, you know, demanding tighter and tighter and better, more consistent, more accurate color for their brand identity and their brand strategies. And I saw that firsthand when we visited Packling, the variety of different brands, as I mentioned before. And when did you guys really start seeing orders come in from the brand side, the major brands, the major retailers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say it took a while for that to kind of start happening. Probably didn't really see recognizable brands start ordering until maybe about a year to 18 months into launching Packling. And I think the first brand that was, you know, a big company that I immediately recognized was like Vistaprint. And they actually ordered a lot of boxes from us. They were our biggest customer. And that was really exciting. And then more and more brand, like kind of recognizable brands, just started finding us organically. I think, you know, just through search engines and things like that. And I think what they were responding to was just kind of how well designed Packling's website was. I mean, we weren't doing any sort of like outbound sales effort to attract these brands, but having a really well done website just establishes a lot of trust. So immediately these larger companies started to find reasons to use Packling. And, you know, a really funny example is actually seeing HP place an order with us in the early days, because, you know, HP is obviously one of the large printing companies, and their marketing department found it was easier to like go to a website like Packling to produce a box for something than to, you know, use some internal resource at the company. So we thought that was kind of a validation to how simple we made the process. Uh-huh. And I would say a lot of these larger brands are using Packling as a resource for different things like product launches or influencer kits or marketing campaigns. So rather than having a lot of like supply chain managers or purchasing managers use kind of our self-service tool to order small runs, we're seeing it from people that are in kind of the marketing and publicity departments and things like that.
In packaging, we hear the word sustainability and eco-friendly and both valiant causes. What do you guys have to say about that? And what do you have on board moving into the future as we're moving away from plastics packaging?
Yeah, so that's something where, you know, all of our products at this point are paper-based. And so we stay away from plastics or anything that can be considered like, you know, fossil fuel derived substrate. And in terms of specific product lines, that's something that we don't currently offer, like a truly sustainable kind of like eco product. But going into next year, you should see some really interesting developments from Packlane in that regard.
Miriam, on that note, we'll go ahead and bring the podcast to an end, unfortunately. And we really, again, appreciate your time. And I wish you all the best, as well as the folks there at the Louisville facility for Packlane. I hope you say hi to Jimmy and Jessica. I hope you guys are doing great. And I hope you have a great weekend. Take care.
Yeah, of course. It was great to be on this podcast. And, you know, we love the work that you do. We love this podcast. So it's quite an honor to be a part of it and contribute.
And it's an honor for us as well. Thanks for listening to the Gamut Podcast. If you have ideas, suggestions, or would like to join us or even sponsor future podcasts, simply email me at jcollins@idealliance.org. That's JCOLLINS@idealliance.org. Take care and have a productive day.